You fucked up my opening.
You fuck.
Welcome to. Yes, fuck Arnold. He has made new Arnoldville comics.
Hey Arnold, the cartoon.
Never mind. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Cobra Commander.
Cobra. You have to roll your tongue and say Cobra.
I'm the new Cobra Commander, not that one. Oh. No, joking.
You're not the Joseph Gordon-Levitt Cobra Commander in that weird G.I. Joe movie they made?
Oh, yeah.
That was so bizarre, The Rise of Cobra.
Oh, that was a weird movie.
It was fucking strange. I'm like watching this, I'm like, but what does this have to do with G.I. Joe other than the names of the characters?
Sienna Miller in that black leather.
Oh, yeah.
Baroness.
Pretty good.
Which I'm kind of curious to see how this Snake Eyes movie is. You know,
are they still doing that?
Yeah, they cast.
That's right.
They casted.
They did do some casting on it.
Yeah, but no one knows who they are.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah. So here we are.
How's y'all's week's been?
Interesting.
Trying.
Man, it sounds like we've all had a tough to the nails to the wall weeks.
It's not too bad, but not as emotionally testing as your week.
Of course.
I think I have that beat for probably the whole fucking year for most people.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But we're about 7 weeks away from 2020, and god damn it, hopefully it's better than 2019 it's been.
Yeah. You know,
I would hope. But
Indeed-a-reno.
But we are trekking along on the podcast to episode 181 will be our 100th film, which we officially announced on Veterans Day this week with a little video announcement that we're going to do Saving Private Ryan for our 100th film. And the reason, for people that might be new listeners to the show, well, 181, that doesn't make sense. Well, we rebooted the show with episode 81.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when we turned into a feature film podcast and with pop culture news. So 100 films will be 181. So we felt like doing something special. But we'll talk about more on that as we get closer to episode 181. But in the meantime, we did launch a Patreon. And we had 3 people in the first week. This week, we didn't have any new people join, but some of that was on my end, too. I didn't promote it as much, so I'm promoting it right here. But we do have a Patreon. Go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com and click that little P icon or hit where it says Patreon and join. A couple bucks a month, support the show. $5 a month, get support the show, get you a bonus episode, a little bit more, and $15 a month, get you even more. And those bonus episodes will start in January of 2020. But there's quite a possibility that you Patreons will wake up around Christmas with something in your inbox. Did I just throw a hint out there?
Maybe.
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. You know, you have to sell the fucking thing. So, you know, join the Patreon. You can't just say, join the Patreon, bitches. You have to sell it. You know?
Heck yeah, so, give them something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, by the time people hear this, the 2019 Houston Pagetown Podfest will have happened. We plan on attending, unless things change in the next 24 hours, but we may be there for the Rebel Radio or for the H-Town Podfest, and we'll have a full report on the next episode.
Yeah.
If we attend.
Yeah, if we can make it.
Yes, if we can make it, if we don't get sidetracked or other things or happen tomorrow.
Are they banging at the doors on that Facebook group about the event on the Houston Podcast Alliance?
There's lots of banging. Apparently with the Astros stealing signs.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other thing. But no, there seems to be an interest in it. There is on the Eventbrite group, it seems like there's some interest in the H-Town Podfest this year. So we'll see how that goes here in Houston in the H.
Yeah.
Did you see that Marilyn Manson was hanging out in Houston the other day?
Really?
Yeah. I guess he was in town.
Marilyn.
I was in town for something, and he was flashing the H sign sitting on the back of one of our local rappers, like, did you know they call their cars a slab now?
Slab?
Is that
I thought that was my whip.
No, it's not a new
thing. That's a whip.
That was a new thing. See, I don't know.
It's been around for at least...
I'm not down with the lingo, man.
10, 15 you know? Years.
Slab like culture?
It's a... local... we'll
my see. Whip. Whip see, is slang
keep,
for car.
I try to keep
car.
Up with local it, man, because I'm going to have teenagers soon, you know, in a few years, and... Like, I didn't know, like now they'll text someone and they say, you down? Now they say, you up. Which means you want to hook up. You up?
No.
Yeah, that's what they say now.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. Wow.
You have to know these things, Matt. You're going to have teenagers one day, too.
You ever hear some of the, hip-hop music with a super deep voice?
Barry White?
That's not hip hop.
I'm saying if you ever heard when you're, you know, randomly on the road and you hear that super loud, super low register rap, that's slab.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, man, log is fucking straight.
I thought that was cut and screwed. I thought that was chopped and screwed.
That's the derivative from it.
Oh, okay.
Long, the street. That's why I said, what was his nickname today on the show?
Cobra Commander.
See? Fucking Long, the street G.
Oh, yeah.
Long's about as gangster as they come.
Dude, I was talking to Mark when we were hanging out after Misfit Toys about, you know, some of the stuff I seen in the inner city when I used to live there in Houston.
Yeah, straight up street G right there, man. I'm telling you.
When I was a kid, I went to an elementary school in HISD. It was all black, 98% black students.
And one Asian dude.
My sister, and a Hispanic dude who's Honduras. They were the only three minorities in the whole school, and it was like the students. This is like in fourth and fifth grade, and they were like, "Homos, like, are you Mexican?" I was like, "No,
yeah, you talk to this bitch."
You know, so it's like, but I don't know, I'm Asian, man. Asian, like Chinese. It's like, yeah,
wow. Like,
these are the students, not the teachers,
right?
So, yeah.
Oh man, I just realized I dropped like four cuss words. We're doing a kid film today.
Oh, wow.
What happens if you make me fucking watch it? See, I just did it again. I'm totally blaming this on you.
Well,
I'm having fun with it.
The mythology of, you know, what we're talking about, is different. They definitely made this film G-rated. I think we
should reverse the order and do the feature first and do the download this second.
That's possible.
We could.
Because, you know, I've had an intense week, so there might be some colorful language for this episode. If you made me watch this, like... Because I'm blaming you on this one, Matt, because we ran a poll on our...
he's going to run it again.
Yeah. We ran a poll on our Twitter account.
I think we talk about this every week since then.
Where we said, let's pick our favorite Disney movie, guys. I think Mark has resentment. And me and Long pick classic Disney, Matt picks modern classic, and it fucking happens to win. So you made me watch this fucking movie.
It's entertaining.
So, you know.
It is entertaining.
Yeah.
So we will do the featured film first this week and save download this because we've got some big download this week with The Mandalorian hitting Disney Plus. Plus, we're going to talk some Disney Plus and stuff like that. So let's reverse engineer the show today, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's start with don't get any fucking bright ideas along like you won a battle. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know where I was going with that. You just threw me off here, yes. And sorry, I'm having a little indigestion there. So let's do the feature film this week first.
Woo! Yeah.
Do things a little ass backwards.
Yeah, bass backwards.
You know,
I have no strings to hold me down.
So Disney Plus has officially launched in the world. More on that here in just a little while. So we thought, let's do a Disney film. And a little foreshadow, we were actually going to do 2 weeks of Disney films. So we'll preview next week's film later. But so the poll, of course, won, and it was 1997's animated feature, Hercules. And Matt, since you picked this movie, essentially, you can summarize it for the good folks at home, even though you summarized last week.
Yes, this is a very G-rated version of the mythology surrounding Zeus and Hercules. So they were able to take Zeus's promiscuousness and make it G-rated and make a family-friendly Hercules adaptation. It's very entertaining, incorporates the Broadway singings of some of the older depictions that were on stage at that time, and the songs are pretty entertaining, but it's follows Hercules
in the gospel style,
gospel truth. Very entertaining in that aspect, but Hercules becomes mortal because Hades wants to take over the world. James Woods is awesome in this film.
He is good in this movie.
You've got Danny DeVito, who trains Hercules. Hercules is pretty vanilla. He's white bread, but you've got people around him that are pretty interesting. James Woods, Danny DeVito, Susan Egan, who plays Megara. You've got... Bobcat, who is a decent comic relief. If you like,
who played his compatriot again? It was someone very familiar. Pain and Panic, was it? Was it Panic and Fear?
Pain and Panic. Yeah.
Pain and Panic. Who played his?
It's Bobcat, and I forget the other guy.
It's some very familiar name, too.
Yeah.
Gosh, what was it?
So they fail to kill Hercules as a child. He ends up growing up, and Danny DeVito's character...
Quick, someone call trains IXII.
Him. Yeah, IXII. And you have Susan Egan, who's plays Megara, and she tries to seduce Hercules and twist him and find a weakness. Turns out his weakness is her because, you know... Cliche, he falls for the damsel in distress, and ultimately ends up thwarting Hades' plan to unleash the Titans, and he becomes a true hero by sacrificing his life to try and save Meg, but then chooses to stay on Earth.
Matt Frewer, that was the guy who played
Panic. Frewer, is he in Police Academy 2?
No.
Like Bobcat? Well, Bobcat was in Police Academy 3.
I don't know if you're old enough to remember... The Pepsi mascot ish Max Headroom.
Oh yeah.
I guess not.
No. Yeah. It's the peak of his career. Yeah. Matt Frewer played Max Headroom, and yeah. Go ahead and summarize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But that's about it. You know. And it's you've got some cliche things, and here the romance is cliche. You know that the romance is gonna go the way it goes, and even I won't say I'm in love. It's too cliche. I won't say I'm in love.
Well, boom. Well.
Yeah. But you've got a lot of cool things in here. I think the animation could be better. Oh, he looks familiar.
Yeah,
I know he was.
Yeah.
The whole movie's cliche. It's very cookie cutter Disney.
Yeah, well, they had to make it kind of a Superman story to keep it G-rated.
I was going to say that, too.
And that's my thing. Okay. When the MPAA redid their ratings in the 2000s, if this came out, this would be PG. I mean, there's a lot of undertones in this. I'm like, okay,
the Minotaur?
Well, then the Minotaur that Hades says to her, you got to give the right curves, and he puts his hand on his body. And Meg has awfully freaking prickly titties.
Yeah, she does.
I can't help but look at the way they're drawn.
She's probably second to Jessica Rabbit as the animated films we've done.
Only I can pull that off whenever I watch a Disney movie. Think like, she's drawn well.
And I think the peculiar art style definitely reminds me of the classical Greece.
Base.
And
Like a bunch of the old.
Well, they really liked this illustrator. He did the Wall album music video for Pink Floyd.
Why do you like this movie? I've been meaning to ask you. Why do you like it?
It came out whenever I was 11 years old. Yeah. I saw it in theaters with my whole family. My mom, my dad, my sister. We went out. We bought some Hercules toys right afterwards. For Christmas that year, I got the computer game where you could fight the Hydra and everything, and you went through the training. Mm. And I even had like a little joystick controller.
So you liked it a lot when you first saw it?
I liked it a lot, and it stuck with me from a kid because... As a kid, who doesn't like Hercules? You know, the strong, you know, Greek character, and it was just cool seeing a super strong guy beat up on mythological beasts.
My biggest problem with this movie is when I was watching it is like, I say biggest problem because I don't think the movie's a bad movie, so I shouldn't say that. But my biggest problem is Hercules is so uninteresting in this movie.
He is.
It's like you don't even care. You care about what Hades is doing and Meg is doing and Pain and the Panic. They're more exciting characters. Like, Hercules is just sort of there.
And Danny DeVito.
Yeah, Danny DeVito. Hercules is just sort of there to fill in what he's supposed to do in the movie. But he's not interesting at all. Like, you care more about the Little Mermaid Ariel than you do in her movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or Belle and the Beast than you do him at all. You just...
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this movie was made. Disney had their renaissance in the late 80s, early 90s with Little Mermaid, Beauty and Beast. Yeah. And then they started falling back a little bit again. And this
Pocahontas.
Is that, this is that
Hunchback.
Era. This is that era where they made like Treasure Planet, Atlantis, Hercules. They made The Emperor's New Groove. What people kind of call the cult status Disney films. They weren't as popular, but they did okay.
They're a notch below the classics. Right. Not too far below, but if you put
Mulan
King Triton.
Bright spot in that.
Yeah, Mulan for sure. And she's kind of the same thing. Finding your identity. Hercules has to find his identity, his stolen identity. But you've got a...
Not sure what the voice
that is.
To business and defeat
The Huns. Danny Osmond, great voice in for Mulan. And then Christina Aguilera does my reflection show.
But I can see how an 11-year-old would have this kind of
effect. Is that from Hercules?
No. Reflection? That's Christina Aguilera from Mulan. Uh-oh. But, man, you take the songs. The songs are great. You know, he roared as thunderbolts. You know,
I can think about 15 other songs. I have a confession
to make. Mm-hmm. I liked this movie a lot when it came out. When I saw it in the theaters, I for some reason, I don't know what mood I was in. I went to the theaters and just watched this by myself.
I don't think I saw this in theaters.
Hero to Zero.
I saw it on home video. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I saw it twice. I don't know why. Yeah. Who knows? I was bored. I don't know, but I liked it. I liked the humor in the movie. I also liked the Titans in it.
Yeah.
The design of the characters is well done.
Yeah.
I felt the color palette was a little too brownish. Like it just
with the normal people,
it didn't
feel
as colorful as a normal Disney movie. It felt like very brown and gold.
Yeah.
A lot of the movie.
Yeah, if you look at the kind gods
like the ancient age.
Yeah.
The gods are bright, the Titans are bright, everyone else is drawn kind of dull. Like they're colored like Ursula's like people that couldn't pay their debts, so they turned into poor, unfortunate souls, and they're like these little weird-looking creatures.
And the River Styx.
Yeah, they're kind of
Are you talking about that scene?
I'm saying the people look that way, like they're drawn that way.
Are you talking about?
Well, I'm saying they're drawn like those little like weird beast-looking things from Little Mermaid. To Mark's point, they're not very colorful, and compared to the gods, you look at the gods, they're glowing, and that's why they chose this illustrator, because he had a pretty interesting.
I did like the style
palette,
overall.
And they thought he would bring an edginess, because that's what they wanted. The Disney board said that they wanted edginess, and that's why they took this guy. But yeah, you can take these characters like Herc. You know, is he more interesting than Little Mermaid? No. You take King Triton. Is Zeus more interesting than King Triton? Not really. And in this movie, I think one of the things that kind of brings it down is everyone feels like they have to be funny except Hercules. Everyone has to be a comedian. Yeah, every single line.
I still kind of chuckle whenever Zeus first appears in front of Hercules.
Oh, yeah.
And
hello, son.
Big old speech.
Hello, son. I've been looking for you.
A true hero.
The great Rip Torn.
Yeah.
Actually voiced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then Hercules reacts by being scared.
Puberty. I'm pubescent.
That has nothing to do with that.
That doesn't? Okay.
The humor, Matt. Come on, Matt. This is your favorite.
I mean, I already said they had like she had huge animated titties in this.
Yeah,
I mean,
Megara.
I've already ruined the whole fucking movie.
It's like so.
I'm trying to keep things on the rails.
What happened with the Minotaur? Oh, you know, men. You say no, they think it means yes. You say get lost, they say take me. They think it means take me. I'm yours, and. A lot of that kind of humor in here, though. I like her attitude.
Well, if you know your Greek mythology, Hades does end up having a wife through kidnapping.
Really?
Yeah. Persephone was...
Persephone?
Kidnapped Persephone. She ended up falling in love with Hades. Anyways, so...
Is this the best Hercules movie ever made?
No, the best Hercules movie to me was the one that starred Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Ferrigno.
That's funny.
Has there been a really great Hercules movie, though, made?
That's what I'm saying.
Even that Lou Ferrigno one was kind of bad.
Yeah.
Hercules in New York was better than the Lou Ferrigno one.
Well, no, the Lou Ferrigno one actually had monsters.
Yeah, that's right.
Mechanical monsters.
Well, you had a dude in a bear suit and Italian music playing.
The closest thing we had to a real Hercules movie was Clash of the Titans. It didn't even have Hercules in it.
Yeah.
The original, you know.
Did they have Hercules in it? I thought that was Perseus.
It was Perseus. I was going to say, it didn't have Hercules in it.
Yeah.
It was Perseus. But as far as this kind of story, mythology and stuff, that's probably the closest thing we've had.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of movie.
I think this is the most entertaining Hercules movie ever made.
Yeah, it is. I'll give you that.
Now,
it's James Woods' favorite character ever played.
Yeah.
Anytime Disney calls for him to do the voice again for any project, he comes back and does it.
He almost did this one for free, right? Because they ran into budget issues.
He put his money back in because of budget issues.
Yeah.
And Disney worked it out in the end and spent some more money in the film. Which they kind of regretted later on because it wasn't a huge box office hit.
Yeah.
It ended up being a bigger hit overseas and through home video made its money back. But initially, it was deemed a failure at first for American box office.
There was that So I see the same character of Hades, you know, played by James Woods
in yeah.
Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah, because of the stadium?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And whoever writes those games must be on crack or doesn't know how to write basic storylines altogether. You know, and I'm like wondering, man, I wonder what James Woods is thinking when he's, you know, doing all these long-winded dialogues, you know, as Hades.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. But anyways.
But yeah, this is definitely, like Mark said, it's a cult classic. It's entertaining. It's definitely, I would put it, it's a B. You know, it's not an A. It's definitely
Disney,
a B.
Disney took a lot of flack for their The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Pocahontas, right before this.
Yeah.
As being too dark. And so they were trying to lighten things up with this film, too, and make it more musical, more fun.
Very upbeat. Things like yeah.
that. I've never seen Notre Dame.
Really?
No. It's pretty good.
It is pretty dark at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a dark story in general.
Yeah.
The story of The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
You know. Sanctuary.
And, yeah, you know, it's definitely...
That's a weird movie to do.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I said that I would definitely think that this isn't a top 10 Disney film.
No, it's not top 10.
It's entertaining for its time. I was going to be a little harsher to it, but I'm being nice because I think there's
parts a lot of redeeming elements in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in the end it works for what it does. I think it's one of those movies where I feel like the songs in it, though, I did like they're not bad, but I didn't feel like they were necessary in mm-hmm. the movie. I feel like they were filler. Does that make sense? Like, I felt like if you watch a movie like Frozen or The Jungle Book, the songs drive the plot. In this film, I just felt like the songs were kind of filler.
I'd rather watch Hercules than watch Tarzan, to be quite honest.
Disney Tarzan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I only saw that one like one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had Phil Collins that did the soundtrack, though, for that movie.
Well, that was only because they...
That's one reason not to watch Tarzan.
Really?
And you don't like Phil Collins? And another reason is Rosie O'Donnell's in it.
Is she in it?
Yes, she is.
Who does she play?
She plays one of the gorillas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she's the small gorilla, right?
She's the gorilla with the pompadour.
No. I don't like Rosie O'Donnell because of the anthem.
Her voice.
Whenever she purposely messed up the Star Spangled Banner.
And she ruined Betty from Flintstones.
Oh, yeah, she did.
That is the wrong person to be playing Betty.
But, I'm not so sure this was a great pick to do for our first Disney animated film the week Disney Plus came out. There's probably better choices. But, you know, we allow Matt to use his burner accounts and win the poll.
One burner account.
Put that down. He says it was one.
One.
Pinocchio.
One burner account.
Snow White. Cinderella.
What? Just curious, what Swishing is y'all's Beauty. Favorite Disney movies ever? Just a couple of them off the top of your head.
Ooh.
Like me, I love The Jungle Book. I can watch that movie all the time. And, that's probably my absolute favorite.
The one that to me,
I do like Pinocchio.
Quality wise, and critically speaking, that I agree with the critics. Sleeping Beauty. They have a great dragon scene at the end of it. Pinocchio, that's a good one.
I think Beauty and the Beast is maybe my favorite because you have Gaston.
I like Aladdin. Robin Williams really.
Oh yeah,
just a master in that one.
Yeah, Aladdin's in there.
See, a lot of those '90s ones for me are like, I like them, but I was in high school at the time, then going to college, so I wasn't that in tune with them. You know, they were a bit. I was a little too old for them by the time they came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't hate them. I just like,
I happened to watch Aladdin because there was a party going on and they needed to entertain the kids. And
do you trust me?
I was like, huh.
Do you
I'm
trust
bored.
Me?
There's nothing to do. I might as well watch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So Aladdin was pretty good.
Yeah.
But no, the ones that I grew up on were Pinocchio. That was a big deal when they released it out of the vault.
Right. I remember that video. Used to be a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, every 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumbo was another one.
Dumbo.
Yeah. Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Well, yeah.
It's
not animated.
Spoonful of Sugar.
Animated enough. Yeah. The songs in Mary Poppins are catchy.
Yeah, I watched that a lot as a kid. My mom liked that movie a lot, so I've seen Mary Poppins several times.
My favorite scene was the chimney sweep scene. The big dance number.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the fireworks. How about you, Matt? Anything?
I would say Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin.
Emperor's New Groove?
I'm not a huge fan of Emperor's New Groove.
I like that one a lot.
I did like Pocahontas. I liked Pocahontas. I like some of the new stuff. I like Moana.
Poker hot ass.
I think Moana's pretty good as far as newer stuff. And the newer
Moana is excellent.
The newer stuff also is gets compared to Pixar a lot because it's owned by Disney.
Yeah.
And they're two separate studios, but yet they're both a part of that Disney magic.
Yeah.
And I think ever since post-Toy Story, people get lost in what's Disney and what's Pixar.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're the same studio, yet they're different.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, you
know? Well, it's two different studios.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, but yeah, for the modern stuff, I think Moana's really good.
I got one. Lilo and Stitch.
Oh.
I've only seen that like one time.
Oh, it's a great movie. To me, it is. I just love how they...
Ooh, Sword in the Stone. I forgot about that one.
I like the Black Cauldron. That's underrated.
Mm-hmm. I love how they implemented the Hawaiian music along with the Elvis, along with it too.
Oh, so
Elvis songs. I like a lot of the Elvis song choices they picked. The Black Cauldron, I saw once, and I remember, wow. I saw it as an adult. It's like, man, this is pretty dark.
Yeah, it's one of the darker films.
No dance numbers, I don't recall.
But
The Rescuers Down Under. Otherwise. I liked Rescuers Down Under.
Rescuers Down Under, that's pretty good too. That's the
great
movie that
balls
helped,
of fire.
That's the movie that helped started the whole Renaissance. Yeah. It was Rescuers Down Under.
Ooh, Robin Hood. You remember Robin Hood?
The
Fox.
It was okay.
It was okay. I liked it.
It's one of their lower rated films, actually. The Robin Hood.
Yeah.
If you look at a lot of top Disney lists, it's usually towards the bottom.
I like whenever the archery part of it, when he's splitting the arrows.
The Great Mouse Detective. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that.
But, oh, yeah.
Disney's fixing to make a gazillion dollars again with Frozen 2 in theaters in a couple weeks.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I liked the first Frozen movie.
Frozen is good. Frozen's actually very good.
Ratatouille.
That's Pixar.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. What else is there? Oh, it's
Big Hero 6 was Disney a couple years ago. That was good.
DuckTales, the movie.
I really like Wreck-It Ralph quite a bit.
Wreck-It Ralph is awesome.
I really love Wreck-It Ralph.
I didn't like the sequel.
Sequel was not as good.
It just tried to push more Wreck-It Ralph
but
out.
I really liked the first one.
Give me back my medal!
Well, the second one just felt like they were trying to cash in and how many more jokes can we make about Ralph in the real world and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't work as well.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like the whole social media aspect of it either.
Yeah.
Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound's good.
Yeah.
But if we had to rate this film.
Ooh, Oliver and Company. I like that.
B.
A B?
It's a B. Solid B.
I'm probably a little more harsh on than you. I'd probably give it like a B minus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I give it a B.
Quite as much as y'all.
Solid
I liked B. Mulan. Mulan was pretty epic.
I felt like if Hercules had a stronger main character that was Hercules, I would have liked the movie more. I just felt like he was just sort of there in his own movie. And maybe that's a little harsh on being a kid's film, but...
No, that's fair.
You watch a movie called Hercules, it should be about Hercules, and it just feels like he's just there to be there. It just didn't feel like it was enough of his movie.
Well, this is the movie that where the supporting cast carried the movie.
Yeah.
You know? For sure.
Yeah.
James Woods.
Redeemed it quite a bit. There's a lot of great redeeming moments.
Yeah.
Quick, someone call IXII. Jeepers, mister.
Jeepers, mister.
I didn't even pick up James Woods exactly halfway through the movie. He says, relax, y'all, it's only halftime. Yeah. He says exactly halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And he apparently ad-libbed a lot of his lines in the film, too.
Yeah.
So.
Remember when all the kids were named... Oh, no, I can't do the Bobcat now. I sound like Kermit the Frog.
A Bobcat. I don't know. I've always felt that guy really annoying. I don't know.
I think he peaked in Police Academy.
Did he ever really peak, though?
I mean, the peak of his career was Police
that's
Academy.
Probably it. Weird voice.
But so now, that was our feature. I'm thrown off now. We're doing things backwards.
Yeah.
It's all fucked me up. So we're done with the feature film. Where do we go from here? Normally, it's the news.
Yeah.
But
we're going to talk about what we downloaded.
Or we could really fuck things up and do the news, then do download this.
No, let's only fuck it up a little bit. Let's not foobar it, Mark.
Yeah, it's not completely
foobar. Yeah, not beyond recognition.
That's unexplored territory.
Yeah.
Download this, where we normally do at the beginning of the show, and we tell people what we watched, streamed, and checked out this week. And obviously, we're going to talk to Mandalorian in a minute, because that's the big one this week. But let's talk a little bit about what we watched this week besides The Mandalorian and a Disney Plus hit, of course. The only really extra thing I watched this week was I watched the first episode of the Toys That Made Us hit today, Nice. I did watch the Ninja Turtles episode because I was like really excited for that one, and I learned some stuff I didn't know about how the Ninja Turtles got started. Thought it was cool. They kind of beat around the bush a little bit on the Eastman and Laird split, you know, because they make it sound like that split happened a little bit later in their careers, but they actually haven't really been amicable with each other since the early 90s because he never really wanted to sell the Turtles, but, you know, mm-hmm. but they say beat around that a little bit, but it's a documentary. You're going to change some things. You know?
Yeah.
But that's a good show, man. They got wrestling, more Power Rangers and My Little Pony are the four episodes this season. And then they have a spinoff coming. There's a spinoff coming next month called The Movies That Made Us.
Oh, yeah?
And the only one I know that's definitely genre-related, that things we talk about, there is a Ghostbusters episode.
Oh, nice.
The Movies That Made Us. So that should be cool. Yeah, that's really the only thing extra I watched this week besides...
There was one I forgot to mention I watched a couple weeks ago. Dolomite is my name. I saw that. It's a great movie. Especially if... You can relate to... This is definitely Eddie, one of his best roles. He's such an earnest character.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays a character named Rudy Ray Moore, who creates his persona called Dolomite. And Wesley Snipes is amazing in this movie. Well, not amazing, but he's just awesome. You forgot.
I've been kind of wanting to watch it. I just haven't.
You forget how a versatile actor Wesley Snipes is.
Him in Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah. He was in Tu Wong Fu, yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, of recent years, I always thought of him as an action hero. You know, and he could play action.
Yeah.
And he could play comedy, and he could play drama. I mean, that's how good Wesley Snipes is. You forget how good he is when watching Dolomite reminds you of how good of an actor Snipes is, but yeah, Eddie Murphy just plays a character who's you know done the whole entertaining the club scene, and mm-hmm. he wants to be noticed. He wants to put everything he has into becoming famous, and then the people around him are supporting him. And what's great about his character is that he brings his close circle of friends up with him.
Ah.
So he doesn't walk over the people that are trying to support him at all. He's like, you know, he's pretty earnest about it. And he says, you know, he's putting his all into it. And he's trying to get his friends to be elevated along with him. You know, and that's such a great angle to go at a biopic like that. And you don't really see it like those kind of movies, you know. It's like, it's always the supporting character says, no, you can't do that. And then the main character's always saying, watch me, I'll prove you all wrong, no.
Mm-hmm.
But in Dolomite, it's more like, hey, I'm going to try to do this. Help me. And it's like, yeah, we'll help you. Okay, cool. You know, let's do it, you know. And it's a really cool movie. I highly recommend if you want to watch something that's not cynical or whatever. And see Eddie Murphy at his, you know, best as far as acting is concerned. I think he deserves at least an Oscar nomination or a Golden Globe nomination for acting.
And I don't have this in the news, but it's a brief thing. I saw that Netflix bought the rights to make Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. On Netflix, that's cool. So I guess Dolomite must have been a success for him so far.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, we'll see how that goes.
Let's face it, Beverly Hills Cop 3 didn't do very well at the box office, so Paramount probably started thinking maybe we should sell this film elsewhere. Apparently, they sold it to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Eddie Murphy will do on his stand-up tour. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's going to be fun to watch.
You ever seen any of his old stuff?
I've seen some of his old stuff.
They're so funny. I still think they're funny, but a lot of it. But anyways, what else did I watch? On Disney Plus, I watched a couple of some of my favorite scenes from a lot of Disney movies. The Black Hole is one of them, and just... what else? The Simpsons. A couple of classic Simpsons episodes. Mm-hmm. One is Marge's Fear of Flying. It's one of my favorites for some reason. And then, I want to play Diablo 3.
You need to watch I'm Furious Yellow. That's my favorite Simpsons episode.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
That's whenever Homer gets mad and he, like, beats up stuff and then... He rips off his shirt and he gets mad in traffic, and the comic book guy's like, oh my God, it's the Hulk. And Stan Lee's there. And he's like, he's not the Hulk. I'm the Hulk. And he tries the Hulk out. He's like, never mind.
But what was it about, though? Wasn't it about
Homer getting mad and choking Bart?
Oh, okay.
No!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah. Oh, that was cool. The horror episodes.
All of them are good. Yeah.
I like the first one that they did with the brain eating brains zombies one. Oh, and then whenever the Maggie shot Mr. Burns, that was cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Interesting. How are you, Matt?
Yeah. So, I rewatched Ghostbusters. Watched two? The first Ghostbusters. No, not two. Oh, okay. First one.
One.
Yeah, and then I watched the Austin Powers trilogy. Yep. Did that.
Which of those three is your favorite?
Ooh, the second one.
I thought you went to the movies.
I did that too. I also saw Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
Yep. I liked it. I thought it was.
It was really good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And
too bad Midway.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised. And then I rented Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
How was that one?
I liked it. Yeah. I was entertained.
Liked it? Just liked it? Or
I think I.
That sounds like a B to me.
No, it was pretty scary. I think it does rely on the jump scare a little bit, but the makeup and stuff that was done for some of those characters was pretty good.
Well, yeah. It's PG-13, so they're not going to make it 2.
Yeah, man. If it was rated R, I think they could have done.
Books are from kids' books.
Yeah. I read all three, and I even bought the first one to read to Jake, and I did read the Where's My Toe one to Jake, and then my wife found out. Him. Yeah. You have it. You are. Because my dad did that to me. My dad, same thing.
So Disney Plus hit this week. Global launch on Tuesday. Little small glitches throughout the day, but for the most part, a fairly smooth launch. They claimed that till me. Well, it wasn't global because it's not on England. I didn't say that.
I don't recall.
Mostly just North America.
Yeah.
But they claimed to have 10 million subscribers already in the first 48 hours.
Is that including shared accounts?
Well,
I think they
know. Because if you share an account, they say separate subscribers. They can look at subscriber numbers.
Oh, okay.
Whether you shared or not. But yeah, so far, before we get into The Mandalorian. I find it to be a pretty good, smooth service. Nice graphic work done
seems
on it.
Seems stable.
Seems stable. Someone said some of the bigger... I was reading the chief complaint that some of the series that have multiple episodes that doesn't have a keep-watching thing, like on Netflix. So you have to go back and find what episode you left off.
Oh, boo. First world problems.
First world problems.
But this thing is pretty loaded, and it's not even maybe a quarter of the Disney library. Or the Marvel library, or any of the Fox stuff they bought. Because really, the only Fox stuff on there.
I wonder if Sky High is in
the Simpsons.
Oh, Sky High.
The Simpsons is on there, and
all 30 seasons,
and a few other Fox movies and things. But there's not a lot of Fox stuff on there yet. They say that's all coming in the next wave. Of course, a lot of the rated R Fox movies they plan on keeping on Hulu. They said
yes, it is.
Nice. Man, it's got some great Marvel stuff on it. Old school Marvel cartoons, Spider Woman. Silver Surfer, the old Fantastic Four, the X-Men, Spider-Man and his friends. Spider-Man and his amazing friends. The Spider-Man 1981 cartoon. I'm curious why the 1960 Spider-Man cartoon's not on there. Yeah, I'm hoping they get that on there eventually.
Yeah.
Old Yeller's in it.
Oh, Old Yeller?
You ever seen that movie?
Yep.
Lots of classic Disney movies on this thing. For was it $6 a month, $7 a month, whatever it is. It's well worth it.
Yeah.
If
Herbie the Love Bug.
Not fully loaded.
Netflix is a little worried, but the more I think about it, Netflix shouldn't worry too much for now because this is mostly Disney stuff, and the original content's going to be Disney focused. Netflix can still get a lot of original stuff of their own to put on there. So I think there's room for both major services.
I can tell you who's worried. WWE Network. I'm sorry.
WWE.
I'm not sure what that had to do with anything.
So this is a subscribing service, so who's going to pay $10 to watch pro wrestling?
Guys, you drink Mountain Dew, watch wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Mountain Dew. That's pretty specific.
I tell you that I stopped supporting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I'm just saying.
I did. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Sure.
Guys like Frank are
except for this
support
this
the WWE month. Network. So yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
So, you feel so far so good about Disney Plus?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Stable.
Yeah.
As long as they don't do anything like Hulu's interface, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's worth having. And, of course, we're getting some original content on there. They have a Jeff Goldblum show on there.
Oh, I saw that.
Live-action Lady and the Tramp film, which I'll probably watch for the kids at some point.
I heard the Imagineering documentary is pretty good.
Yeah, I heard that was good. Of course, Star Wars, The Mandalorian, is on there. To tide us over until The Rise of Skywalker comes out and until Clone Wars Season 7 comes out. And eventually, the Obi-Wan Kenobi television series. So the first two episodes of Mandalorian are already out. Now, Disney's doing things a little different. They're releasing their shows weekly instead of all at once like Netflix. Mm-hmm. And so we have to wait over the 8 or 9 weeks. I think Mandalorian is 9 episodes, I think.
8.
Is it 8? But we got the first two in the first week. And so this is pretty badass.
It is.
You know, I think that's the best way to describe The Mandalorian so far.
I like it a lot.
It takes place about 6 years after Return of the Jedi. With the title character simply known as the Mandalorian, played by Pedro Pascal. And he's this is basically a Western set in the Star Wars universe in a lot of ways. A lone gunman going through hunting bounties, essentially, and making a living.
And this second episode felt like a samurai movie.
Yeah. Very lone wolf and cubbish type.
Yeah.
And there's so much to love about this. There's so much Star Wars little moments in it. That as longtime fans, you're just kind of smiling gleefully at different things. There's a nice twist at the end of the first episode, which I don't want to spoil yet. Maybe next week when we review episode 3, we'll spoil that twist because give people time to watch it. I'm very curious where that twist is going to go and what it all means and everything. There's a lot of throwbacks in this, the prequels. I mean, the Mandalorian flies around in a Republic gunship, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
His armor, you know, looks like a mix of different armors. That's why people are still convinced that maybe it's Fett. You know, who knows? You know,
maybe, I hope it's not.
Maybe there's a twist down the road, or maybe there's not.
Although, there are some Eagle-Eyed fans that noticed that Fett might be standing in one of the backgrounds.
Well, to go even further on that, though, there's several Mandalorians in the background. There's images out there with 3 or 4 different characters that look like different Boba Fetts.
Wow.
So if you really look closely, there's Mandalorians in several background scenes, which I didn't even pick up on and people found.
Yeah.
I think my only small beef with this show is the first episode. I didn't really like the first bounty he picks up that has to go use a bathroom and all that. I didn't really like that guy. So he was almost Star Trek-ish for me. No offense to Star Trek, long, because I know you love Trek.
Yeah.
But he was almost too Trek-ish for me, and I got to use a bathroom. We've never had anybody use a toilet in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little weird. Yeah. But it didn't ruin it for me or anything. And then, I'm not a huge fan of the music in the show.
You know what would have made that alien better?
Hmm.
I was thinking about this while rewatching it. I think if he had spoken
a different language, maybe.
That would have been a lot better.
It was the voice or something. And
like,
then
subtitle that thing.
And I'm still kind of getting used to the music. It's so different for Star Wars.
I like it personally.
It's just, I don't know, it's taking me some getting used to. I kind of keep waiting for the sprawling symphonies of Star Wars to come in, and it's not coming in. The cinematography is fantastic in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Really well shot. David Filoni shot the first episode. And I can't remember the name of the guy who did the second episode. And
Favreau.
I know.
Favreau.
Well, Favreau wrote the second episode.
No, he did direct it too.
I just watched today. He didn't say he directed it.
Yes, he did direct it.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, look it up.
Because I know he did.
Sure, it wasn't Takiti Wakiti Walulu.
He did the season finale.
Oh, okay.
John Favreau directed it.
Favreau. It's like Favre, but Favreau. Oh, you're
right. He didn't direct it.
Rick Famuyiwa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's what I was going to say.
Shut up. Yeah, television is a writer's medium anyway, so Jon Favreau wrote it.
In the second episode, like you said, it's almost like a samurai movie. As he's
directors don't matter on TV.
He's trying to get his bounty back to his ship, and he's getting attacked by scavengers. We get to see some Trandoshans in a really cool fight sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Jawa strip his ship, and he has to get his stuff back by getting this egg of this creature that Jawa's wanting.
That was crazy.
A brutal little fight.
Yeah, it was a brutal fight.
And the second big twist of the show comes in this moment, which, again, I'm going to stay spoiler-free for this week's review, as his asset helps him out in a way that's unexpected. Or maybe expected if you're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, we're just...
I expected it.
Yeah.
And
predictable. No, I'm joking.
So, but it's definitely... I like some of the humor in this. They pull it off really well, where it's not corny, but it works. Like, there's four of us, to you're one. He goes, I like those odds. You know, mm-hmm. I like that kind of Clint Eastwood-ish type of bounty hunting type humor.
Yeah.
There's a really funny moment in the second episode. I just watched it. I already forgot what it was, so...
Those Jawas, man. I was just shaking my head, man. Those fucking Jawas.
They're annoying little freaks.
They're little bastards. I was laughing my butt off when I saw them getting disintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, this is so awesome to watch them die.
You know what's bizarre thing about this, too?
Sadistic, I know.
It's the first Star Wars project that's actually shot in the U.S. This is all being done on sound stages in California, most of
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not...
It looks like a movie, by the way.
Yeah, it looks like a movie, but there's no location shooting for this. So it's kind of weird that... It's the first Star Wars project we've ever had that's shot right here in our, not our backyard, but here in the United States, because most Star Wars stuff's all shot overseas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt, you've been quiet. What's your thoughts so far on The Mandalorian?
I agree with you that it's very much like a Western. I think there's a lot of questions that are hopefully going to be answered. I like the Carbonite. I like Carl Weathers' character for as little as he had in there. It looks like he's going to...
I have a feeling he'll be back around. Yeah, I think they're going to cast a guy like Carl Weathers and not have him in it some more.
Yeah. I like the... I don't want to spoil anything either, but I like the droid that was in there in the first episode.
The IG-11.
IG-11.
That's not too big of a spoiler. We just don't want to give away the big twist.
Yeah, I thought it was... I thought that shooting scene was really cool.
It was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, the way that they animated IG-11, I thought that was just badass.
Yeah.
And then the way, just his banter between him and the Mandalorian, we'll split the reward. That is acceptable.
And then he's like, I'll self-destruct. No, don't self-destruct.
Yeah.
And now, I think it was Takeda Waititi that did the voice for IG-11, I remember.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like...
He kept wanting to self-destruct. It's like, capture is imminent.
It was like two rival cowboys going back and forth. It reminded me a little bit, when he did for a few dollars more, the banter between Eastwood and Lee Van Cleef. You know, it's a little bit like that. Very much a Star Wars Western. As a Star Wars fan, this is something that I always wanted him to do something like this. Kind of an underground, you know, see the underworld type deal of the Star Wars universe. Not Jedis and... space battle, see a little bit more of those backwards. One thing I loved about the opening beginning of Rogue One, those first 20 minutes where it was all like, you know, Cassian's like doing dirty business in the streets of the city.
Yeah.
I wanted to see something like this in Star Wars, and that's what we're getting with The Mandalorian. And it's wonderful so far. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. I've seen people say things like, oh, Star Wars is back. Well, first of all, Star Wars never went anywhere, people.
That's right.
Those are just those Last Jedi haters that just keep on stirring that pot, you know. But at the same time, I would agree that it does feel fresh.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not the Skywalker saga. It's not tied in with all that we're so used to being tied into for so long. Even the Clone Wars cartoon and Star Wars Rebels are still tied into the prequels. You know, so this is a territory that we haven't had at all post Return of the Jedi. We've had it with Force Awakens. That's 30 years later, so it's far away enough removed from Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as connected.
Yeah.
So I think that does make this feel very, very fresh. You know, and I think that's what's exciting about it. And I do wish the episodes were a little bit longer. The first episode's 39 minutes. The second episode's like 33. And that's probably another small beef.
Commercial-free, though.
Yeah, they are commercial-free.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, Netflix shows are commercial-free. They were 45 minutes to an hour, so...
But sometimes you gotta admit though, sometimes some Netflix shows they go a little too long.
Sometimes,
you know, too many episodes, too, you know.
Yeah.
So
I think
I'd rather have meaningful minutes than fluff. Because a lot of Netflix shows have fluff. Like Daredevil takes a while to get going at times. Oh, so
yeah.
That's just my small
tidbit. I can see that.
Tidbit.
Yeah, this is definitely much more of an action. Quick pace show, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the first episode, I watched the first episode twice because the pacing did feel a little quick for me. And the second time I watched it, I was able to pick up on things.
Are you more. Okay?
Over yeah, there? I was fixing a burp. I don't want to burp in the microphone. So I was holding it in there. I'm all right, though.
And you get into those words or fighting.
Fighting. You know, it is almost 11 o'clock at night. I've been up since 5, so, you know, I'm fighting through this.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm all right. So
good.
But the Mandalorian is the Mandalorian might be worth your $6 a month alone if you're a Star Wars fan.
Is it six or seven?
Whatever.
$6.99
I don't fucking remember. I was signing up day one, no matter what.
Yeah, you know
I
didn't what? Care. $7 is pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more coming. I mean, we got the Falcon and Winter Soldier. We got the Loki TV series.
Yeah.
You know the Hawkeye TV series. There's so much that's going to be
one
on this
division.
That's going to be worth. I think it's going to be worth watching in the end.
You know, what if? Did you see some of those tidbits, sneak peeks on the What If?
Mm.
You know, they showed the Peggy Carter with the super soldier serum.
Yeah.
And Steve Rogers has his own Iron Man suit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agent Carter is on here. I never did finish watching that. It was on ABC. It's on Disney Plus.
It's only two seasons, was it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It didn't run very long. But I heard it was really good, though, when it was on. So, you know.
Who knows? They might continue it. Who knows?
Yeah. But, very much worth getting Disney Plus if you have it. And so that's our major super extended version of Download This Week. The premiere of Disney Plus and Star Wars The Mandalorian. And oh, one more thing on The Mandalorian. Why does it not say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away at the beginning of it?
Boom.
Every single Star Wars thing starts with that.
Except,
why is this not?
Except for Star Wars, Solo? A Solo story.
It had a long time ago in a galaxy far away at the beginning. Solo.
Maybe that was Rogue One.
They all had it. They all have it.
Well, I could bring up the app right now.
I guarantee you, or both of those anthology films did not have a crawl.
None of them had a crawl, but they all said a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Let me see.
I'm not talking a crawl. I'm saying just that simple title card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a long time ago.
They all have it. And it bugs me. That's a Star Wars staple.
Yeah.
It should have been on there right after the Lucasfilm logo.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my one thing. Why is that not on The Mandalorian? You know, that should be on there. Even the Clone Wars episodes had it on there. Well, the episodes had the little moral free chip.
Oh, it did. On. Rogue One had
it. Yeah. I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a small beef, but Star Wars, it should be on there.
Let the past die.
Let the past die.
Fuck that. It should be on there. Okay? All right. Well, let's do some news. Okay? Speaking of Disney Plus, Robert Downey Jr. is going to come back and voice Iron Man for the What If series. Which we kind of knew this already, but I guess they made it official this week with the launch of Disney Plus. Which I hope this means maybe other actors will follow suit. You know, it'd be nice to have Chris Evans back and stuff. And
voiceover.
It gives it a continuity. And you may not make this, but like kids watching it, that's important. They want to hear those voices.
Yeah,
the
they
characters
do.
They watch. You know, it'll be cool to them to say, oh, that sounds like Iron Man. So, you know, I think that's a cool thing. It gives us some continuity. It should be fun. Kind of looking forward to that What If animated series.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be fun. I hope they adapt some of the old comics from the 80s and stuff and do some of those cool storylines. That should be pretty neat. So that must be pretty much full in production. They're announcing Downey Jr.'s voice. I wonder if that comes out sooner than we're expecting it.
Not sure.
So we'll see. Black Adam finally has release date. December of 2021.
I'm doing my best not to roll my eyes.
The Rock is still planning on playing Black Adam.
He's going to oil himself up.
Black Adam. My biggest thing with this is, like, you know, I get, like, why they did a Joker movie, but I'm not sure why we're getting a Black Adam movie. Why was Black Adam just not in the Shazam movie?
Because The Rock doesn't know his comic books.
Why wouldn't the Black Adam just not be in the Shazam movie?
Hear me out.
That would have made sense.
What if Marvel has their Avengers, but DC is going to go with the Legion of Doom, and they're going to create a bad guy force?
Nah, because Joker has nothing to do with the DC universe.
Admittedly, DC does have kind of the interesting rogues gallery.
No, it's true, but like, I just feel like The Rock wants so badly to be in a superhero movie. That's why he made Hobbs and Shaw, and that's why he's making this movie.
How long has he been talking about this?
That's what I'm saying. It's just, for me, it's like,
at least
I don't think he really cares. I think he just wants to be in a superhero movie so bad that he's finding whatever means he can to get this Black Adam movie made. And I wouldn't be surprised if it sucks, you know? Because I just don't see the point in it without Shazam in it. You know? You could do a Joker movie without Batman, because the Joker's a powerful enough villain, and Joaquin Phoenix is a good enough actor. But The Rock, I just don't. I don't know. I'm trying to figure
this one. He has
charisma. He does, but I'm still trying to figure out where they're going with this movie.
Who knows?
You know, so we'll see.
Who knows? I try my best not to roll my eyes.
So this is interesting. You know, they're still making this Uncharted movie with Tom Holland in the lead as Nathan Drake.
Tom Holland as Nathan Drake.
And then, well, here's the thing: Mark Wahlberg, who looks more like Nathan Drake, might play Sully, which makes no sense.
What?
I always pictured, like...
People want Nathan Fillion to play...
Yeah, well, they wanted Fillion to play Sully.
Not Sully.
Play Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
I could see Mark Wahlberg as Nathan Drake. He's not my... Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's my favorite actor, but I could see Wahlberg in the part. When I think of Sully, I think of, like... I don't know, Jeff Bridges or Sam Elliott, some old guy with great
hair. Jeff Bridges.
You know, I don't see Mark Wahlberg as Sully. But he's circling the project.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one of those movies.
It's a video game movie.
Yeah, I love the games. Uncharted are great games, but I think it's time to, like...
And Sony's making it?
Yeah, it's like, let's not do this.
Yeah, they had their chance.
So, one more bit of Star Wars news. So, you know, the original films are on Disney Plus, first time they've ever been available streaming. Disney claims that Lucas made this change right before they bought the films. They changed the Greedo scene again. Where Greedo now says something like McClunky or something as he gets shot.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a long time running joke at Lucasfilm. And Lucas put this in there before he handed over the final versions of the films to Disney. And I haven't gone and watched it yet. It doesn't really change the scene. I guess Greedo still shoots first in this version, but they just add a little bit of extra
and
humor.
And Han Solo moves unnaturally.
Yeah, so we'll see. So Luke is still touring with his films. You know, another thing on Disney Plus I think was cool. John knows the extra scenes. Like, a lot of the things had extras on there's deleted scenes for Endgame on there that aren't on the Blu-ray, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a lot of other things that have featurettes. I thought that was a cool feature that they added to Disney Plus. So pretty cool there, but that's all the news I had. It was kind of
Is there a clause for selling when Lucas sold, the Star Wars property? Was there a clause to say that Disney's not allowed to release the original cuts?
Apparently so. That's been the rumor. Yeah. So, yeah, he wants his special editions. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
But, you can bootleg them.
Yeah.
There's pretty decent Blu-rays out there, the original trilogy uncut, that you can get for pretty not too expensive. And they look pretty nice. So, but I don't know. I'm one of the few people that's okay with the special editions.
Did you hear the Life Day reference?
Yeah, the Life Day reference.
Yeah.
And Jon Favreau apparently is very serious about wanting to do a Star Wars holiday special for next year. He wants to do a modern holiday.
Hey, that'd be pretty funny.
It can't be worse than the original.
No, he can't.
He can't make it cheesy.
Well, he could.
You put Mark Hamill singing on.
Yeah, but there's no way it can be worse than the original. You know, the original is one of the worst things ever made with Star Wars. Well, probably is the worst.
I died a little Star Wars watching it, personally.
That's because
I died of cringe.
Cringe.
Yeah. You ever cringed so hard, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get a new Star Wars holiday special next year.
Maybe so.
But, yeah. Well... Let's preview next week's movie before we get out of here this fine day, afternoon, morning, whenever you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
But we're going to stick with Disney for one more week at least and talk a classic that was quite a favorite of mine as a kid. I really liked this movie growing up. And that is the original Tron.
It begins in this world, on this side of the video screen, and plunges into a micro-universe that lives and breathes beyond the boundaries of imagination. The world of Tron. His video game designs have been stolen.
No, actually, I'm trying to get some solid evidence together.
The Master Control Program has the proof.
You're still looking for that old file.
I put it in my memory.
And there's only one place it could be hidden.
Come on, big fella, let's see what you got.
I'm gonna have to put you on the game, Brent.
Inside the computer itself. Trapped.
Okay.
On the other side of the screen, a computer genius is forced to play his own video games with more than a high score at stake.
Want him in the games until he dies playing.
On the other side of the screen, it all looks so easy.
And even this ace of the arcade isn't ready to challenge them from the inside. Tron, an astonishing adventure odyssey, that allows the eye to behold what only the imagination can reveal. Tron, its world awaits on the other side of the screen.
I don't like this movie as much as I did when I was a kid, but I still like
yeah.
it. It's just, it's one of those movies that when you grow up and watch it, you really look at it a certain way. When you get older, you see the flaws in it, but yet you still like it. You know, mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Kind of like the movie we watched today, we reviewed yeah, today.
So we're watching nothing but cult classics to kick yep. off the new plus celebration.
Cult yeah. classic Jeez, November.
You threw Tron out there pre-show, so it's kind of your fault.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, you did.
Lies. No, joking.
But Tron's a good movie. I just threw out Jeff Bridges' reference.
I'm looking forward to rewatching this personally. And then, I've only seen it since I was a kid.
You haven't seen it in a while. I've seen it recently. It does hold up well. It's good. And for reference, watch Tron Legacy while you're at it, just to see how they compare.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk Tron next week on the show, so that should be a fun one. And make sure you guys go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com and check out our Patreon. Join yep. it. Join it.
Join it.
Or else.
Any tier.
yeah. No, we really do appreciate it. And follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and all that good stuff.
Tweeter.
I call it Tweeter. We even have an Instagram, which, you know, you'll find fine little video clips of each episode up there on our Instagram. So it's pretty cool. Cool stuff. Pretty wizard. And we promise you there are no nude photos on our Twitters or Instagram.
No.
Because you wouldn't want to see us naked. That's scary. And I don't know. I'm reaching for humor here. Trying to end the show on a funny note. And I probably just scared people. Every time you move in the chair, it sounds like you're farting.
That'd be a weird fart.
That'd be weird.
A creaky fart.
But thanks as always for listening. We hope you enjoyed.
Yes.
Let's just talk about Hercules from Disney and previewing The Mandalorian. We are going to preview The Mandalorian every week. We'll at least talk that week's episode. Mm-hmm. We're going to download this. So watch it with us and play along and keep up with it. And that's all I got. So until next time, go to RebelRadioPodcast.com. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long Retreating.
Thank you as always for listening. And remember, just go there and do it.
Do it.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. And this is Jay Muse, snooch to the nooch. Go there and do it.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.